It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Oh, here we go on the kind of Monday that dreams are made of. Two incredible games yesterday. So much drama, so many decisions, so much to get into, and so little time. Let's go.
Here we go. Go.
Only one place to start.
I just felt really good about us converting and getting our momentum and not letting them play long ball. And I wanted to get the upper hand back.
Jared rolls to his right, still looking, throws downfield, incomplete. Lions come up empty, was looking for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I don't regret those decisions. I don't. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man.
Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions falling on the road in San Francisco despite a 24-7 lead at a dominating first half performance. We'll start with the NFC game. We'll work our way to the AFC game. As mentioned, RC and Rex Ryan, good enough to hang out. So here was my thing I was trying to argue all morning long, RC, and that is, for those of you who were with us on Get Up, you know what I'm referring to. This was a game to me that the Lions lost more than the Niners won. And I understand that that's going to make some people mad, but I what can you say? That's my opinion. They had total control of the game, and they made so many mistakes, some of them the normal kind, yeah, missing an open receiver, all that kind of stuff, and then some of the decisions that, in my opinion, definitively cost them the game last night. I credit the 49ers for when it was handed to them, sure, they took it and ran with it, and the quarterback played great in the second half, but he would never have had a chance to win that game if the Lions hadn't handed it over.
Yeah, the Lions certainly made some mistakes. And Greeny, you know, we argued about this enough on Get Up. But, yeah, the drop passes matter. Not converting on the fourth downs matter. Missing the interception, allowing Brandon Ayuk to catch the football. All of those things matter. But all of those things are also football. Those are the reasons you assemble a certain roster when you're attempting to win a championship. Mm. And it also points to the pressure of the moment. How many of those players in week three, in week four, make those plays? How many coordinators, how many head coaches make the correct decisions early on in the season and don't in that moment? Dan Campbell was consistent to who he was, whether you like the calls or not. Whether you're looking at them in hindsight and saying, well, if you get three there, you're in a better position. That's who Dan Campbell is. That's why this team is actually in or was in the NFC Championship. And then you look at some of the plays that were not made by the Detroit Lions. Well, that's very Detroit Lion-ish, which we felt like Dan Campbell and his great staff had coached them out of, but they made negative plays. The San Francisco 49ers took advantage of them, and that's the way football works. If that wasn't the case, then Rex Ryan doesn't go to the AFC Championship with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? The Pittsburgh Steelers don't win their Super Bowl with a quarterback at Ben Roethlisberger who barely makes any plays against the Seattle Seahawks. It's just what football is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the beauty of football is that a ball can bounce a certain way. Good for you or bad for you. And unfortunately, like the thing, the play by the young man, the corner that was on the streets, all right, week 10, this young man's on the streets. He's sitting there starting in an NFC Championship game. He's got phenomenal coverage, and the ball goes off his hands, off his face mask. And it totally changed the entire football game.
The IU catch that sets them up down there, yeah.
The entire football game. Because now all of a sudden they knock it in for a touchdown. Now they're down by seven. Yeah. What happens the next play? They fumble.
Yeah.
Now they go in, they tie the darn game up. And here's the thing. I think Detroit gifted them the game because of plays like that. However, Detroit had as good of a game plan as you'll ever see. They bludgeoned San Francisco. They totally dominated the game. But there's mistakes even before that, at right before half. All right, Gibbs slips. It's a clear touchdown if he doesn't slip.
Right.
Goff misses a pass where Gibbs is wide open in the back of the end zone. And you know what? It's like, oh, it's okay because we're up by 17. It's not okay. And details matter. RC, how about the punt?
Yep.
The one Fox, was he ready for it? 70-yard punt.
Ball bounces straight in the air.
Straight in the air. Let's just down it on the one.
Yeah.
What happens? They step in the end zone. Now it goes to the 20.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just little things like that all of a sudden add up to be big things. And unfortunately for Dan Campbell and company, they're going home. Because I really thought this was the year they were going to win it. And that team, that offense, that's the best offense in the National Football League. And unfortunately, nobody's going to see it in Super Bowl.
Greeny, if you look at the teams that have been sent home already – in the playoffs. I'm going to change it around. I'm going to be greeny and let you analyze for
a
second.
Yeah.
Which one of those teams isn't pointing to plays they didn't make to say why they're home? Do you think that the Buffalo Bills or Josh Allen isn't sitting at home thinking, maybe if my foot's not stepped on, I could get the football to Shakir? Right? You think that the Dallas Cowboys aren't at home thinking, if I don't throw this football right here, Darnell Savage doesn't pick it off? I believe every team has those moments that, to me, contribute to a loss. What is it about the Detroit Lions in yesterday that has you so dead set that it wasn't the Niners winning, it was Detroit losing?
The biggest difference to me, Buffalo was not winning that game by 17 points, and it wasn't that close. I mean, that game was not a 17-point game at half, to the point that Rex is making. It was thoroughly dominant. Okay. It looked like the best team in the league was playing the worst team in the league. And when you have that kind of an advantage, you can only lose if you allow them back in the game,
right?
I mean, you have to let them get back in the game. And the way it happened, to Rex's point, it happened in the blink of an eye. The fumble comes immediately after the miracle play that hits off the face mask, and all of that starts with them not kicking the field goal that would have given them a 17-point lead. Now, I don't know the kicker. I don't know how much confidence. Yeah. If you don't have any confidence in your kicker, then you need to get another kicker.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can't count on your kicker to make a 47-yard field goal in modern football where guys are routinely making them from 50 and weather was not a factor yesterday, then your kicking game isn't good enough, because you have to be able to trust your kicker to make that kick. I'll take a 17-point lead in the third quarter. Yeah. I will take tying the game up with 7.5 minutes left.
You know, I think I'm stuck there in between – knowing, understanding, and accepting who Dan Campbell has been since he's been the coach of the Detroit Lions, and saying to myself, well, if you make one of those field goals, you are up 17. And not only are you up 17, you get to kick the football off and you have better field position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, like, those are the things you say. But, Rex, it's so hard for me, because to me that would be like me looking at you down the sideline when we're winning. Rex, don't blitz. Rex, don't bring pressure. Play soft, Rex. It's smarter right now. We're in the NFC Championship. How hard is that, though, Coach?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's dang near impossible.
Yeah.
Because
but if you've got a three-touchdown lead, are you blitzing?
No, first off, we probably would. But I'm going to say this. Greeny, I would have taken the first field goal and kept it 17, a 17-point lead. And by the way, 10 minutes have gone off the clock.
Yeah.
And I'm still up 17.
Gotcha.
However, this man was trying to get the knockout blow. If they go up, all right, 21, game, set, match. It's over. It's over. He was going to end the fight right then and there. And here's the other thing that he has. And when it came down to the end, he talked about it. I love Dan Campbell because he'll tell you the truth in his press conferences. He's like, we weren't going to let him bleed us to death. Even if we tie him, they're going to control the clock from that point on. He never wanted to do that. He thought he had to take the lead and work the clock all the way down. They've done an amazing job all season in the fourth quarter. Better than any team in the league. That's how we think.
7.5 minutes left in the game when you're talking about. You're not running the clock out 7.5 minutes from the 30-yard line.
I'm telling you, you control the clock. This guy, he works it that way. And here's the thing that he will never say but as obvious as heck to all of us, he has a hell of a lot more faith in his offense than he does his defense, and rightfully so.
No, I get that.
That was, and I think that was evident when everything was working complimentary in the first half, the run game got going. Ooh. Now, Greeny, I'm going to say this. Here are some of the things I didn't like. I didn't like the throwback to Jared Goff for the play to Reynolds. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the flea flicker to Jameson Williams. And mm-hmm. you've mentioned the LaPorta play, which ended up being an extremely difficult throw because Greenlaw sort of got in the throwing lane. Like, this team was working the football down the field, controlling the clock. The explosive plays that were made were run after the catch. And I felt like in going for the knockout blow, Ben Johnson called some plays that put them behind the sticks, which was the one place you didn't want to be against the San Francisco 49ers. So if there was one coaching thing that bothered me, it was that. It was saying, it was going away from, you know what? They haven't stopped the toss all game. Mm. So let's stop doing it. Right? So those were some of the things that struck me as sort of odd in the second half. But when you're up 17 and it's so easy, and then the other team makes a couple of plays, what happens to players and coaches, you're like, I got to go get it back now. Right? If I'm Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm not making the one cut that I was trying to get me 8 yards. I'm trying to make the cut that's getting me 40. If I'm Ben Johnson, I'm trying to get everything back on this play instead of sticking with the game plan. And I think we saw a little bit of that from the Detroit Lions, which is very difficult in those moments.
Yeah, no, we absolutely did. And quite honestly, momentum have changed so much. You've got to try to get momentum back on your side. The flea flicker at the end with Jameson Williams, it was a perfect pass. The kid just dropped it. Should have been a touchdown.
Yep.
Should have been a touchdown. And that's just another little thing right there. But I think that, I mean, I certainly felt it too. Like, I felt it. I was wanting them to put the big guy, Penei Sewell, back at tight end.
Yeah.
When they did it, they had no answer. They just went down the field.
Bring in 70.
Put him at tackle, yeah. And then put Penei at tight end and just wear him out. I was waiting for that. We never got to see it again. But, again, what I saw is they couldn't get back in rhythm. To your point, they couldn't get back in rhythm in the second half. You know, they had to just make a play here or play there, but never at one time did they get back in rhythm.
You know, Greeny, also, too, it felt like they wanted to show that they were going to go win it. Right. Instead of being up 17 and saying to themselves, man, they can't really stop us from running. They started saying, like, they were looking, let's go knock them out. Let's give them the blow that they can't come back from. And I felt like they were, and this is stupid to say, they were almost too aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of just winning the game.
No. They were ridiculously too aggressive. You don't have to win a four-quarter game in the third quarter. I mean, that's what they were doing. They were trying to end the game there when they didn't have to do it. Just keep playing the game. You were in total control. Everything was going their way completely, and it went the other way. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Both games were so compelling. I just have a moment, a quick take, if you will. I don't think any of us think the better team won the first game. Mm-mm. And the Ravens were definitively the better team, the best team all season long. Mahomes' team won yesterday. If you're going to put your finger on one reason why did it happen?
Defense.
Chiefs
defense. It was Patrick. It was Steve Spagnuolo and his ability to dictate to Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken who they were going to be. And on the other side of that, the second branch of that, Greeny, is Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken totally getting away from what worked. I felt like the moment was too big for the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. And that's weird to say with John Harbaugh, who's already won a championship.
Yeah, no, and I thought it was bad of game planning or reacting to the moment as you can possibly have. Mm-hmm. They looked like they were chasing points, like they were down 21, 24 points, and had no faith in their own defense.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you're there. That's why your quarterback's making the MVPs, because of your defense.
Yep.
All right? And guess what happened? Yeah, they gave up 14 early, but they got better and
they
better
ball
as the game. They balled out. Yep. And you just get back to doing what you do. This team in Baltimore averaged 32 rush attempts per game, the highest in the National Football League. They had six carries. 6 carries for the running backs.
That's the misnomer of this team too, Greeny. For some reason, we talked about them as if they became this prolific passing offense. They still were a physical run offense that did it from different formations, yeah, which allowed them to get lighter boxes. And they had lighter boxes in this game and refused to attack them. That is classic overcoaching, yep, overthinking, allowing the moment to overwhelm you in preparation. And unfortunately, it put Lamar Jackson in a situation where he had to overcome that. But that's what you got to do when you're the MVP. When you're the MVP, yeah, we haven't called the best game, but I got to make plays. I got to give my team every opportunity to win. And I don't feel like Lamar did that.
Yeah, 82% of the plays, Baltimore's plays, were dropbacks. What in the heck are we doing here? That's never been Baltimore Raven football, ever.
Their running backs only had a combined total of 6 rushing attempts in the game yesterday. I could do this all day long. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
So good today. The great Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan. Quick break. We'll come back. Hashtag crew. We are loaded up on a Monday. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Crazy day that was yesterday, and we are delighted to be here with you and that you are here with us. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. We will dive deep into all of it in 30 seconds after this word from Vivid Seats. Catch all your favorite sports live with Vivid Seats, even the big game. Vivid Seats is giving away 2 free tickets to the big game now through February 4th. Enter to win today by downloading the Vivid Seats app or visit gamecenter.vividseats.com/TNC. For details, experience the biggest event in sports live from Las Vegas. Thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And it will be Kansas City and San Francisco advancing to play in that game in the most dramatic manner imaginable yesterday. I mean, that was such an incredibly crazy day of football yesterday, endlessly compelling, and I will just a little peek behind the curtain. As a talk show host, that was a dream day. Dream day. Sometimes the games are good, but the storylines aren't. They don't give you stories. Yesterday's games gave you stories. And I feel like we have focused mostly on the NFC. I want to do a little more on that, and then we'll work our way to the AFC as I bring in the members of the hashtag crew who have assembled around me. Hashtag Hembo was here. Hashtag Bubba and Cam in Bristol. Were you able to pull up the second half box score
for the NFC game?
I had it right in front of me.
Okay. So I am, and if anyone who watched Get Up this morning, you are already aware, I am thoroughly of the opinion that the Lions handed that game away, gave it away, gifted it to the 49ers on a silver platter. That is not diminishing what Brock Purdy did. He was terrific. In fact, if Lamar Jackson had played the way Brock Purdy did, the Ravens would still be playing right now. Tuck it and run when it's there to be done. But we'll get to that game. So Purdy was great. When the opportunities came their way, they took advantage of them. That's what good teams do. I'm not diminishing them. However, the Lions were up 24-7 and in total control of that game, and then they just handed it away. One of the many things it felt to me like they stopped doing was they stopped running the ball. The Lions were, it felt to me, running it like crazy in the first half. They wind up in the game with, from their running backs, 27 carries. They had a total of 29 rushes, but one each from Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So if we're just going to do actual rushing plays, your traditional rushing game, they had 27 rushes, 27 carries, and they threw the ball 41 times. By the standards of the modern NFL, that's not bad balance. That is fairly balanced. But they were so effective running it. What was that number in the second half?
So in the second half, Lions running backs ran it 7 times for 32 yards, after in the first half running it 20 times for 106 yards.
So I'm right. I mean, my eye test is right. They just stopped running it. How many passes did they throw in the second half?
I'll pull up the ratio. In the first half, it was 21 passes to 20 runs, basically 50-50. Let me pull up the second half now.
Because they just stopped running it, and it was working. Like, I don't understand what they were doing yesterday. And look, I love Dan Campbell. He's my favorite coach in the league. I admire him endlessly, full stop. That is not diminished by yesterday. But it would be completely disingenuous of me to not say I think he contributed significantly to costing his team that game. A 17-point lead in the third quarter should never just be bypassed, and then the second field goal from the 30-yard line to tie the game with 7.5 minutes left, I still can't believe he did it. Now, everyone is going to tell me, well, that's just what he does. What does that mean? You have to take into account the circumstances of the game, what's working and what isn't. I get it that, generally speaking, going for it on fourth down has worked for this team, and it has helped develop a personality. It's helped develop that culture that we raved about last week. All of that. I subscribe to all of that. But that does not mean that in every circumstance you just blindly make that decision. In yesterday's game, it did not. Neither one of those, I thought, lent themselves to that. They also had the terrible fumble. They also had 2 terrible drops by Josh Reynolds. They also had 2 terrible misses by Jared Goff of 2 touchdowns that would have absolutely put the game out of reach. And then worst of all, Dan Campbell, if you want to defend him for everything else, 1:05 left, you have 3rd and goal from the 1-yard line. You have all 3 of your timeouts left and you're down by 10. The most valuable thing you have at that moment are your timeouts. You need 3. Without 3, the game is over if you don't recover the onside kick, no matter what. You're much better off kicking the field goal on 3rd down and at least getting that than you are running the ball and being forced to use one of your timeouts. You have to run a play that is going to end with the clock stopped, no matter what. You're going to tell Jared, you're going to throw a pass, and you tell Jared Goff, if it's not there, you throw it in the freaking seats. And then if you want to kick the field goal on 4th down, do it. You need another possession anyway. The game is over if you don't make it. And they run the ball, and so they lose their timeout, and so the game is over. If you don't recover an onside kick, which the NFL has for all intents and purposes taken out of the sport, the game is over. That is an inexcusable decision. I don't care who made it. If Mike McCarthy did that in a playoff game, we would have him arrested. We wouldn't just fire him. We would be calling upon, Bubba, you jump in here as my Cowboy fan. If Mike McCarthy ran the ball on 3rd and goal from the 1 with 1:05 left and was forced to use one of his 3 remaining timeouts, and then when they don't get the onside kick, all San Francisco has to do is kneel the game out, We would genuinely be calling the police in Texas and asking them to arrest Mike McCarthy.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think we have the correct adjectives to explain it. I'm 100% with you because, I mean, I couldn't believe it took 13 minutes and for GetUp this morning to bring it up. And then even Orlovsky defending. I was saying all last night, I was texting my friend, I couldn't believe that happened. I'm surprised more people aren't bringing that up. You can, if you want to defend the field goals, all that, whatever, that to me made, there's not a single ounce of that made any sense. They could have come back and tied the game if they saved their timeouts. And like you said, the onside kick it's basically not happening. There's no chance of getting the onside kick. I don't understand why more people aren't bringing that up. Running the ball on third down, you ended the game right there. If they saved their timeout, they would have had the ball back with potentially 40, 50 seconds, and they still could have tied the game and gone to overtime. I don't understand why more people aren't bringing it up, but I'm glad you brought up the only person to bring it up on Get Up 13 minutes in, and Orlovsky was defending Campbell. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm still flabbergasted at the conversations that we had. I've been getting texts all morning from people saying, thank God you said all those things because no one else seemed to want to say them. Look, everyone sees it differently. Everyone's entitled to their opinions. It is what it is. To me, this is forever going to be remembered as the Dan Campbell game and the Josh Reynolds game. I mean, that those two drops are killers. Killers, one of them on a fourth down and one of them on a huge third down crossing play. Hembo, go.
So let me just tie up this loose end. In the first half, their pass to run ratio, the Lions, was 20 to 21. That's what enabled them to build such a massive lead, 20 to 21. In the second, with that lead for at least the majority of the third quarter, the total was 21 throws and 8 runs. So we're talking about a really balanced attack in the first half and the very antithesis of that in the second half when, coincidentally or not, they blew the game.
Not.
I
choose not.
Between fair enough.
Coincidentally or not, I choose not.
The only thing that Dan Campbell deserves legitimate criticism for, in my judgment, is the run the ball on third down there at the end. That makes no sense. It is completely indefensible because you're basically saying, if we don't get this one play, running the football on third down, which is, again, inexcusable, we're losing the game. The only time that you can run the football there is obviously on fourth down. They wound up throwing it on fourth down and getting it, and obviously the onside kick this year is like a 1 in 50 proposition. We're talking about something super unlikely. But the going forward on fourth and short, zero problem with it. Absolutely no problem with it. I mean, honestly, I wish they had gone for it on fourth and short at the very end of the first half because that's a little bit more in line with their character. They wound up kicking it to go up 17. But the way that I see this is who we are philosophically. You know, on fourth and three or shorter this year, we're 20 for 25. It's about as easy for us as making a free throw. And on one of those calls, Josh Reynolds dropped the ball. Like, sometimes you can't just play the outcomes. You got to count on the players to do the right thing. Now, the second call where Jared Goff got pressured and wound up effectively throwing it away, that was a bad play call, a bad play design, and bad execution. But the Lions are in this position in large part because they play so aggressively and Dan Campbell pulls all the right levers. It's hard for me to give him a hard time about that in the second half of the NFC title game.
No, that's fine. I don't disagree with that completely. There is something about it that was very on brand, and maybe being on brand, it has a value, has sort of a larger value than the X's and O's that I'm not giving to it, or I'm not even trying to diminish that part of it. But what I am saying is, Hembo, this isn't really analytics. It just is what it is. But none of these things should be taken outside of the context of what we're doing. Mm. So, for example, I don't even know what a good basketball analogy to this. I'm trying to think of an analogy from a different sport. Like when you, in baseball, if you have a big lead and you're in the eighth inning, where are you putting your defenders?
You're covering up the lines.
Why?
No doubles defense.
Why?
Because singles are fine, doubles aren't.
Okay, right. You change what you normally do, right, based on the circumstances mm-hmm. of the game. That's not what we are, but that's what we're doing because the game has brought us to this moment, and I must make this decision in this moment, not based on anything I did during the season, not based on all those things. I know what my chances are of making this first down. That's what the data tells us.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. A field goal in that first situation gives you a 17-point lead in the middle of the third quarter. That's a huge advantage. It is a massive advantage. And so whatever the percent chance that you don't make it is, A, I believe the momentum shift of a team stopping another team on fourth down is a huge one, particularly at home. The whole game turns there. I don't think that's coincidental. Now, the ball bouncing off the guy's face mask, it's a one in a trillion chance. The other piece of this is maybe he has no confidence in his kicker. If that's the case, then get another freaking kicker. What can I tell you? In the NFL today, a 47-yard field goal on a day where weather is not a factor should be essentially a guarantee. Right? I mean, you know, whatever that is. You should be as confident in that as you are that you're going to convert fourth and three. And when the downside is losing the game, like you're telling me right now, 7.5 minutes left, you have what should amount to a very makeable field goal to tie the game. That doesn't have enormous value. It's not worth overriding the risk of not converting that fourth down, and now you're letting San Francisco just run the game out.
Yeah, because it's not a chip shot field goal. Like, at the end of the first half, the reason you can justify that decision, and the analytics there basically say it's 50-50 regardless of whatever you choose, is that you're basically guaranteed to net 3 points. It's a chip shot. But for that guy, a 40-something yard field goal, like, the expected number of points is probably something like 2. Like, you can't
bank 3 points.
Then why
do you have that guy? That's a different
conversation. Dan Campbell probably likes not having a good kicker, so he can just go forward and hide behind that.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing.
Totally. But what I'm saying is, you have that kicker, and if you're coaching that game, you can't assume he's making that kick. You have to assume that if I put that ball down, it's probably a 65% chance he's making that kick. So you might get absolutely nothing out of it and still lose the field position battle. That's why the expected points there might be 2-ish, right? That's a different thing than you being at the end of the first half at the, you know, whatever it was, a 5-yard line and kicking the chip shot.
Okay, so now what we are debating or discussing are small things, which is to say individual decisions. The bigger one, which is that they just went away from their running game, which was working like crazy. To Rex's point, they put Penei Sewell out there as a tight end. They've got him in motion. There was actually a play where he was wide open. but they just stopped doing it. I think that they shriveled. I think they shrunk in the moment. And I think that was the difference yesterday. In fact, I would say in both games, the biggest difference is one team was ready for the moment and the other team was not.
Yes, the thread of commonality between the Lions in the second half and the Ravens in the second half is so strong that there needs to be somebody in the booth, on the sideline, wherever, overseeing stuff that says, if we wind up playing with a deficit, let's not totally forget who we are just because you're losing the game, just because you wind up blowing a lead, just because you're down by 10. Like, the clock works 1 second at a time. We don't need to necessarily change everything and completely obliterate our game script.
And inversely, or conversely, if we're ahead, we do need to think about playing that way, about coaching that way. You know what your best friend is? I'm saying this like you don't know this. Your best friend when you're winning is a running clock.
Tick, tick, tick,
let
tick,
the
tick,
clock
tick,
run. Run the ball. If we can run the ball, if you have a 17-point lead and you run the ball effectively in the second half, you have no chance of losing. None. You can't lose. There's no way it can happen. The only way it can happen is if you start trying to get cute. And now we're running flea flickers, and we're going for it on fourth downs, and we're throwing balls. And Josh Reynolds cannot catch. I mean, that kid picked the worst possible time to have the worst day of his life. I think it's going to be. I think this is going to be remembered as the Josh Reynolds game.
Yeah.
Like, when we talk about this game years from now, and we're sitting right here in this conversation, and we're saying, "Wait, what was the game that San Francisco beat Detroit? That was the Josh Reynolds game." Mm. Oh yeah, it was. That's what it is. That was the Josh Reynolds game.
21 rushes for 148 yards, 9 first downs, 6 explosive runs in the first half. We know, because we saw it last week against Green Bay, like that's the one bugaboo of the Niners defense. What they want to be able to do is let Chase Young and Nick Bosa sprint up the field and get to the quarterback. And that's what the Lions elected to enable them to do in the second half of that game.
I mean, I thought that was just a terribly coached game.
That's a good call.
Unfortunately, by the Lions, and an equally badly coached game by the Ravens that we'll get into as we continue. Plus, we have to talk about another, what does a goat get? Another horn? Whatever a goat gets, another check mark on the side of Patrick Mahomes, who continues to do things the likes of which we've never seen. And we'll talk about that in a moment after this from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. We're back in a moment on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
Sometimes being in the position where everything is in your favor and you're supposed to win is not always a role people wear comfortably. I just look at that Ravens team. Look, they've been the best team in the sport all year long. They deserve the credit. They deserve to be the favorite. I've seen weird things happen over the years. I've seen weirder things than Patrick Mahomes winning this game happen over the years. And until I see it, I won't believe it.
This is Greeny.
Yes, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. I was the only one on Get Up who picked the Chiefs, and I was the only one on this show who picked the Chiefs. And boy, did I enjoy rubbing it in Hembo's face when I got here this morning. That was of great pleasure to me. You who told me how there's no way and the Baltimore is historically good and this metrics say this defense is so good and the offense is so good. And you know what? The Chiefs are a better team. They are infinitely better coached. And there is no one in Patrick Mahomes' category. Lamar Jackson can now choose whether he wants to be Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, or Karl Malone, the three all-time immortal greats who unfortunately came along at the same time as Michael Jordan and weren't able to win. He can choose which of those he wants to be. Let Josh Allen be one, and we'll let Joe Burrow be the other. Maybe one of those guys breaks through, but until it happens, I'm not going to believe it. Pencil in Mahomes for the Super Bowl every year for the next 10 years, and let me see somebody beat him.
He is unfathomably good. That was a game that I said last week. He and they had absolutely no business winning. They're on the road. They're playing with a rest disadvantage. They're the underdog. They're playing the number one defense in the NFL. And before you know it, it's 17 to 7. Before you know it, I mean, they score right away. And it really set the tone for the game and enabled the Chiefs to dictate how the game was going to be played. That ultimately, to me, was probably the most impressive thing about the performance. Like, Mahomes set the table for his defense, and they took it and ran with it. So obviously, Mahomes deserves an enormous amount of credit for how yesterday went, but so does Steve Spagnuolo, who devised the ideal game plan for that situation.
If you have to pick the most valuable person in the four teams that played yesterday, I would put Spagnuolo first. I think I would put him number one. I thought what they did defensively to an offense that was legitimately better this year. Lamar was legitimately better and more multidimensional than he's ever been. He's a runaway to win the MVP and richly deserves to be. what that defense did to them yesterday, holding them to 10 points, 10 points is, it was unbelievable. I thought he pitched the perfect game.
He really did. Now, it's not just the 10 points. It's not just how hard it was and how tough it looked. When I say that you sort of dictated how the game would be played, here's what I mean by that. So the Ravens dropped back to pass on 82% of their plays yesterday. All right, in the entire game, their backs carried the ball 6 times. That is the highest dropback percentage and the fewest running back carries that any Ravens team has had in any of Lamar Jackson's 83 starts. So it's not just that the Ravens played badly on offense and that the Chiefs played well on defense. It is that the Chiefs told you, this is how you're going to play. The Ravens capitulated, and at the end of the day, they went up with 10 points to show for it.
That's right. But I think just sometimes the obvious thing is the obvious thing. Let's just make the thing the thing. You're right. They dictated to them, and the Ravens allowed themselves to be dictated to. I can't wait till Jeff Saturday is here tomorrow, because I promise you, and part of this is because I was texting with him when the game was going on, you don't let the defense tell you you're not running it. You run it even when they're doing that. You can run the ball even against a loaded box. You can run the ball when you don't let them tell you what you're going to do. But so we can have that conversation. But if we want to just make it, it's as simple as it can be. In their last games, taking out the last game of the season where they didn't play anybody, this is the number of points the Ravens scored. 34, 56, 33, 23, 37, 34, 33, 37, 31.
Oh,
that's how many points, 38. That's how many points they've scored. I'm back in October now. They scored 10 points yesterday. I mean, right? It doesn't have to be Cam. We can make this complicated if we want to, or we can just say, if you hold a team to 10 points in a playoff game, you're going to win most of the time.
Yeah, especially when Travis Kelce, I think, who has kind of slipped in the regular season. I wrote down his numbers for the final 3 games of the regular season that he played. 13 catches, 88 yards, no touchdowns. 3 games in the postseason, 23 catches, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. A lot of those 11 catches were in the first half, and then they just sat on the lead. They didn't score in the second half. They didn't have to. So, you know, you get Patrick Mahomes, the best connection in playoff history, get you the lead, and then you have one of the great defensive minds of all time to just sit on the lead. The Ravens completely went away from their identity, half forced into it, half on their own accord, and they couldn't do anything. The Chiefs just sat on the lead and didn't have to do anything else.
Mahomes is the best. He's the best there's ever been. You can't make him the greatest yet for the same reason that you can't make Sandy Koufax the greatest pitcher that ever lived. Because one of the ways that gets judged is longevity. That's a factor in this, and it's why Brady is where he is. And deserves to be. And so if he were to retire after this coming Super Bowl, and Mahomes is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's not one of the 5 greatest quarterbacks of all time because part of it is doing it longer. But he's the best. And that's not even close. He is Tom Brady level game manager. Tom Brady is, among other things, the greatest game manager that ever lived, and that's why he won all those games. Managing a game is a good thing. It shouldn't. We have turned it into a pejorative. I think that sometimes we use that as a negative when we say that's all someone can do. And the great ones can do more than that. Brett Favre was the most spectacular quarterback you ever saw, the worst game manager that ever lived, and that's why he didn't win more. Aaron Rodgers, unbelievable game manager with the great physical ability. He's about as close as I can think of as anyone to Mahomes. Mahomes is just next level Rodgers. He's Rodgers, but better. He's more athletic. He makes more plays that boggle your mind. He throws even fewer interceptions. He's definitively the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, yesterday, Patrick Mahomes made like 3 birdies, 15 pars, and no bogeys. He never makes bogey.
Yeah, never.
He never, ever makes bogey. Last year in the Super Bowl, he went up against an Eagles defense that had 70 regular season sacks, and he took none. Yesterday against the Ravens, he went up against the Ravens defense that led the NFL with 31 takeaways. He produced none. Like, he is Tiger on Sunday when he is going to allow the field to decide how he's going to win. Because if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs needed to score 30 points yesterday, they probably would have. They probably could have. That's why Patrick Mahomes is like next level phenomenal. And the quarterback he was opposing yesterday that we got to see alternate possessions with, Lamar Jackson's going to win a second MVP this year. And to say that there was a chasm between like how good they each were would be an understatement. I mean, there was no greater disparity in how good Mahomes was and how not good Lamar Jackson could possibly be than just watching the game and seeing all the things that one could do and watching the other and to see he could not do any and certainly not all of those same things.
No, there were so many questions that came out of that game from a Ravens standpoint. They were so good all year. Why did they seem so tight? Like you could feel it from the get-go. That's why I'm so thrilled that Cam brought back that sound of me saying that last week, because it makes me sound brilliantly prescient, and I guess I was. But not every team wears well being the prohibitive favorite. But I would have thought they would. They just seem like they're the bully on the block, and they're not. But they leaned into that too much. They were so focused on being tougher. And Kansas City was just smarter, so much smarter. I think John Harbaugh is a great coach. I thought he got his behind handed to him yesterday.
That guy's won 3 playoff games since he last won the Super Bowl in 11 years.
Harbaugh.
Yeah. His brother is going to go back to the Super Bowl before he does.
That's very likely now. I mean, we'll see. They're in the same conference now. Look, that was an unbelievable day of football. We'll pause briefly on that thought. We'll come back with much, much more. Plus, we have to wish a happy birthday to someone who will probably be celebrating it for the last time. That's on the way. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.